Well, as I was preparing this message, very often the Holy Spirit seems to quicken to me a title, and from that title I'm able to build a teaching that I believe God gives. And this might seem a slightly strange title, but I believe the Lord will open up and clearly reveal what he means tonight by this. And for those of you who are taking notes, which we do encourage to do, you can write this down: hiding behind God's word. Hiding behind God's word. Now, we're going to just read some scriptures here first, and then I'm going to explain to you, as I believe, how God has revealed this. And turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1, verse 22. We will be going back to this in later as we preach from this, but I just want to just lay a foundation first, and that is in James chapter 1 and verse 22, where he says here, Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I read that again. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We will read this a little bit more in its context, but I want to couple that with also what Jesus said in Matthew 7. And Jesus said similar things here in Matthew 7, and taking it up from verse 21 to 28 of Matthew 7. And here Jesus gives a very solemn admonition here, and this is a warning to the churches today and to many Christians, and particularly to the charismatic move. And it says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous things in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will take him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So we're beginning to grasp what God is beginning to say tonight. And he's really revealing here that what we hear, what is being taught, what we read, the Holy Spirit requires us to be doers of that word. Otherwise, we clearly deceive ourselves. And that deception, which I want to speak more and expose, is really what Jesus was saying here. Because he's saying that many who profess me, many will use my name, many will prophesy, he says, cast out demons, do many wondrous works and miracles. But he says, I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or rebellion, indifference, or an indifferent spirit. So in other words, we do what we want to do. We like the power. We like the idea of casting out demons and healing the sick and so on. But the point that he's raising is, the people that are doing that, do they really know the one who is healing? Do they really know the one whom, when they prophesy, whom they are glorifying and magnifying? And that is the question. And I believe as we go on, God is going to make us very jealous for his glory. He's going to make us very sensitive and very discerning, that we will not allow or entertain or have any time for anything else that does not glorify and lift the name of Jesus high. And he's working that within us, and rightly so. And so we're calling this teaching tonight, hiding behind God's word. Now, I want us to go back now to the book of James. The book of James. And I'm going to read verse 22 in chapter 1, verse 22 through to 25, so we can get a bit of the context of this. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he or she does. And it goes on, then it speaks then about the tongue and so on. So what is James speaking about here first? Well, before I go into this, the book of James was a quite controversial book, and it was disputed as whether it was really inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it was also argued as to whether the book of James should be in the canon, in the Bible as we have it today, simply upon these few verses where it's speaking about works. And of course, you see, works do not justify us. Works do not get us into the kingdom of God. However, if you study it further, you'll see that James is speaking about that the word of God comes by faith, and that we assimilate it, we take it in by faith. And if we walk by faith, then faith must produce works. Faith must produce the fruit. And that is where he's coming from in his argument. He's not saying that we are justified by our works. And of course, the Roman Catholics like that. He's not saying that. He is talking about faith, that we are justified, we're redeemed by the faith. But what this is speaking about here is that we're not only to be doers, but hearers of the word. And therefore, I believe the Holy Spirit has allowed this book to be in the 66 books which we hold, because this is to stop Christians from hiding behind the word. And I'm going to reveal to you tonight, as God has shown me, that there are many, and possibly even ourselves at times, where we hide behind the word of God. And we can use the word of God to justify ourselves. And indeed, the word of God is not about that. The word of God is not only to save us, but it's also to bring forth good works that glorify the Lord. And so James clearly reveals here that we're not only to be hearers, but that we are to be doers of the word. And so therefore, this book challenges our faith. It challenges on the basis that are we simply hearing, or are we living it? Are we acting it? Are we applying it? Are we standing upon the word of God? And that is where James is coming from in his debate and argument. And so here he says, as I've read to you, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, verse 22. Now, many believers, many who profess Christ, are actually in deception. They profess the word of God, but they do not know it in power. They simply know it in intellect. And here is one of the basic problems, is that they're held under deception. And this deception, I might add, is very often associated also with pride. And so they're actually deceived, thinking that they know the word of God, but in reality, they don't really act their faith. They're quite independent of faith. Because it is by faith that we are justified, and if we are justified by faith, then our justification brings forth those works to reveal that we are justified. because those works glorify God. And so there he clearly opens that we're dealing with a deceiving spirit. Christians actually deceive themselves. And that is again what our Lord was speaking about, hinting to, also in Matthew 7. Many of them going to meetings, wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, but don't really want to learn the deeper meaning and truth and teaching of what the baptism of the Spirit is actually about. And that is to take us deeper with God and to walk the crucified life. And you need empowering for that. And so they deceive themselves in as much that they go along to the meetings, they're entertained, they can speak in tongues, they want to lay hands on people, they want to prophesy and see the miracles, and none of those things are wrong because they're there in the Word of God. But they hide behind that, they hide behind the Word because they don't want to live it. In other words, they don't want their lives change, transformed. They don't want deliverance. Because God is delivering us under the Word of God. And that is why you find in the house of God so many believers who are oppressed. Not possessed, but oppressed. And the Word of God is so working that deliverance in us so that those doors that have oppressed us are closing. So the enemy has no hold over us anymore. Now you have to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. But he goes on in this. He says, for if anyone, verse 23, is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So what is he implying there? With regards to a man, a woman, looking, observing their natural face in a mirror. Well, what is actually going on is that the kingdom of self is in operation. Their wants, my desires, that independent spirit. In other words, I'm quite happy being a Christian. I'm quite happy professing God in my life, but I want to do it on my own terms. I want Jesus as my Saviour, but I don't want him as Lord. And there are many professing Christians who, in attitude and motive, live exactly that way. And they are described as only hearers, but not doers of the word. And they hide behind the word of God. Now you're beginning to understand now what God is saying, how you can subtly hide behind God's word. And so all they are seeing when they look in a mirror is themselves. And they are not aware of a transformed life, a life that is changed. Why? Because they are deceiving themselves. We've just read it in verse 22. That deceiving spirit doesn't transform that image. Because when we look in a mirror, we should not be looking at ourselves, the old man, but a new man, a new created being in Christ. Christ-likeness, that is what you should be seeing. And then he goes on in verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So he observes, he looks at himself, and in that state of confusion, pride, he goes off and he simply lives that independent life without God being Lord over his life. Oh, he'll go around and confess he's a Christian and he goes to that particular church, but in reality, he is not living the walk. He may be able to confess the word of God very eloquently, very intellectually, and many, many Christians can do that. They can knock spots off most people, and they can blast you with scripture, but they hide behind that. And that is the point. And it doesn't take long to be able to see through it. Because they are deceived by the fact that they're only hearers, but not doers. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he or she does. And so the blessing is there to those who act and apply their faith. And that's why Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit, for they are fruitful and are bearing fruit. But it says some wonderful things here, that we look into the perfect law of bondage. Does it say in your word in the Bible? No, it says liberty. And this wonderful message actually sets us free. That is its nature. God has got us here tonight, whether in this room or around the world, listening to Powell talk, for one purpose: to set us free, to unfetter us. And that is what the word, the sword of the Spirit, will do. So it's a law of liberty. And he says that if we continue in it, and we don't forget it, but we stay with it, whatever the cost, whatever the trial, we just endure to the end, we stay with the word of God, he says you will be a doer of works. That's really what it means. Works that will glorify the Father. This one, you, me, all those listening who are doers of the word, will be blessed in what you do. Because Abraham's blessings are yours. They are mine. And that is why we hold to the abundant life. That is why God wants to bless you. He's in his nature, in his heart, he wants to bless. And many, many times, as I say it so many times, that when you come through a trial, God not only blesses you in one area, but blesses you in other areas as well. Because that's his heart. That is his nature. And how the enemy tries to twist that and pervert that. Well, having said that then, and starting to show you how one can hide behind God's word, I want to look at some areas tonight as to how we can actually do this. I've highlighted on this, but I want to take this a step further, because I believe tonight that some of us are going to get set free. Because I always believe that when the word of God under the anointing goes forth, it goes forth for healing, deliverance, salvation. That is its message, its teaching. And so how can we hide behind the word? How can we do this? Because it's subtle. Well, the first area, how this can be done. God knows I haven't got much time. I'm a busy person. I'm working all hours God sent, and I just don't have much time. Well, on that day when we stand before God, will we be justified? Will we be able to say that in his presence? I believe not. And I tell you why, because as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And many of us, in this age in which we live, we need time. Because some of us work, some of us are busy, some of us bringing up children, have a home, a family, and so on. And jobs need doing. And I have proved over and over again, and I know many of you have, that when you put the kingdom of God first, the Lord first, he just gives you that time. That time, that quality time to spend with him. And so, for those who are making excuses that I don't have much time with God, and the only time really I have is when I come to a meeting and I hear the word of God, and the only time I can pray is when I come to a meeting and pray with my brothers and sisters, that is not enough. God hasn't saved us simply for that. Now, God would not make these statements if it was not possible. And that is why we've got to learn as believers that we walk a supernatural walk. Although we're in this world, we're not of it. And so as we put the kingdom first, so he's going to give you that time for relationship, that time for him, the quality time. Now, we don't stipulate how much time you must have daily before God. The question is, what time you do have, is it quality time? Is it glorifying him? Are you touching him when you go into his presence? That is the point. Because if you are, and you desire that, and you're putting that first, then that is going to be a removal of you possibly trying to hide behind the word of God. A second area that I believe the Lord has revealed. We may have much study in the word and theology, Hebrew, Greek, ethics, church history, you name it. But all that's happened to you is you've simply been intellectually moved. Now, I already hinted on that a while earlier. But you meet many people who are like that. And they know how to control by using their vast knowledge and study. They know exactly how to control. They know how to try to put people down. They know how to try and make you inferior. And I'm not saying everyone is like that. So please, it is a balance. But there are a lot who are like that. But little do they realize that they actually hide behind that. And what they think they know by their vast knowledge, they actually know nothing. We see in the Bible a group that were like that. The scribes and the Pharisees, greatly knowledgeable in the old law and the Pentateuch and so on, but Christ rebuked them because they didn't really know the law. They didn't really know the word of God, because if they did, they would have known who Messiah was, and they were blinded to it. And what was blinding them? Their own pride, their own deception. Again, back in James 1 verse 22. You see, human nature doesn't change. Now, there are those who have been gifted intellectually and are able to take the word of God in and study it. But they should be very aware that their study can only come by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For he is the only one who can and does teach the word of God. And so there are some theologians who are a rare breed, who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and who walk by faith. And they can be greatly used. The Apostle Paul himself was. So it's not impossible. But there are many also, and you even find them on these rooms in Paltalk, where they are putting people down all the time by what they think is their vast knowledge and understanding of the word of God. But they do not see how far removed they are. They again are the sort who will that day say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? Did I not have this mind that you blessed me with, that I knew all the word and all the scriptures and was able to quote it all? And God said, I didn't know you. I didn't know you. And you will often find with those people as well that it is controlling. They want to domineer. They want to be the head. Whether it be in a topic, in a conversation, or whatever it is, they want you to know that they are vastly knowledgeable, and you see very little humility in their lives. And that is the tragedy. And what are those people doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. As the title says, they hide behind God's word. They're actually frightened, if they were to be honest, of God's word. And there are some people who are frightened of it and they hide behind it. Because the word of God is that two-edged sword, and it divides asunder of soul, spirit, joints, marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of men. And some people are fearful of that. And so they hide behind it. Then we come to a third area, how we can hide behind the Word of God. We can hide because I'm going through a major trial. And so we can use our trials, what we're going through, and we can hide behind the Word of God. And so all we're majoring upon is just my trials, what I'm going through, all I can see. And so they don't really want the Word of God at that point because they're hurting too much. And I don't really want to hear it because it doesn't really seem to help me. It doesn't seem to get me out of this trial. It seems to tell me when I read it that God's going to take me through this trial, and I don't want to hear that. I just want to get out of it. And so what do? You hide behind the Word of God to what is really the true revelation of what it says about trials. It says in Acts 14 that we must go through much trial and tribulation to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And so there we are. There's another area that we can hide behind the Word of God. Well, taking this a step further, I read earlier to you in Matthew 7, where Jesus spoke about not all of those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But let's take it a little bit further back. Let's look now in Luke chapter 7 and verse 46. Luke 7 and verse 46 to 49. And here again, we see how we must build. And those who are not building properly will hide behind the Word of God. And eventually they will be exposed. And then you have to make a decision. You either go with God's way or you reject it. But here it says in Luke 7 and verse 46 onwards, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here again is the very same thing that God is showing, that Jesus revealed in his ministry, how one can hide behind all of this. Let's just break it down. He starts with this, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Again, refers to in Matthew 7, what we read, many will do these things in my name, but they don't know me as Lord. Lord means master, and to a master you surrender. And you become a slave. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. And he says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, that is the Word of God, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So if you are a doer of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to show you who you are like. And you're going to have a testimony. And you're going to glorify God. And you are going to be fruitful. And instead of taking, you're able to give. Because a doer of the word is one who grows up into sonship. And that's the difference. But he then goes on. He is like a man building a house. So you're in the process. You are building. This is how he reveals it. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The rock of whom? Jesus Christ. So you have seen Jesus. You have been born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And you have seen that rock, and it's only on that rock can you build. Your faith, which comes by hearing the word of God, can only be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Your fellowship that you have with the Godhead and with your brothers and sisters can only truly come standing on the rock. This meeting tonight, if this is to glorify God, which we trust and believe that it is, can only come about because believers are standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And it is only on that rock that you can start building that foundation. Why? Because floods are going to come. Storms are going to come. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. And God sometimes allows the hedge to come down because he wants to see and he wants you to know and he wants the powers of darkness to know that you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And you may say to me, well, how do I know if I'm standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Well, you'll know by the way you come through your trials. You'll know by the fact that you're still here tonight listening to the word of God, that God, by his grace and mercy, has brought us into fellowship with him tonight. Now, we all think that we've come under our own volition and calling into this room tonight because I chose to come. Well, yes, we do have a free will, but we're actually here tonight because God called us first from the foundation of the world. And we're soon going to learn, brothers and sisters, that I'm here tonight because God has called me here. This is his mercy and grace. I've done nothing to deserve this. He has given me ears and a heart. He's opened up this room. I'm able to participate. I'm able to enter into God's presence tonight because he chose to do this in my life before the foundation of the world, even before I was even created and made. Amen. Let all men be liars and let God be magnified. Hallelujah. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. So they listen, but it goes in one ear and out the other. And they are the type that will just hide behind the word of God. They think that because they go to the right places, they listen to the right preachers, that they must be saved and going into glory. But they're not. They hide behind it all. They go for a season, but that's all it is. And so you'll find in time or in trial, they can't stand because they're not hearers or doers of the word. They've heard, but they don't do. You see. And sadly, we see that so often. And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It's tragic. That's what it means. What it means is that when a believer professes Christ, who falls, who goes back, it is tragic. You can't rejoice in it. It brings such sorrow. And so, it's that bowing of the knee again. It's as God always says to me so often, the humble will hear. And they do hear. And as a result of hearing, they're digging deep. And they're making everything stands upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight this message that you hear, if you believe this to be of God, then this message that you take into your heart must stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Because that is only where then faith can come, by hearing the word of God. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't create your own faith. You can't stir up your faith in that sense. Just make sure you're standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It's your desire, it's your heart, it's what you want. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And he'll make sure that that word that you hear is building you up in the faith to stand. Hallelujah. We also see in John 13, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. John 13, verses 12 to 17. Here I'm taking up the story of where Jesus reveals that he is a servant to the disciples and he's to wash their feet shortly before going to the cross. And he's teaching them to have the nature and heart to serve. And we take it up in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than he who sent me, him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So we get the clue of this. We see again Jesus' faith. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." See, Christ was also not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. And again, that is what he requires of us. You are a doer of the word if you serve. You are a doer of the word if you put others before yourself. You are a doer of the word, because that is what God wants. And we so lack this servant-like nature and heart in the house of God. Everyone wants to be kingpin. But Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And that's how he's called it, you see. And so we've got to pray over what we hear and what we read. And this causes the Holy Spirit to work with us and to stop us from hiding behind the word. This is why, you see, I encourage you to take notes or to listen to the message. And you can do two. You can take notes or you can go and listen to these messages again on the internet, because we can't always take in everything in one go. And also, there are things that we take or we write down that we need to take and talk out with our Heavenly Father. Because very often by praying about the Word of God, by taking some of those things that you hear about the Word of God, that is placing the Word of God that 18 inches from your head to your heart. People who have a strong faith are people who pray about what they hear, what they read. And they take it before God. And they ask God to do that work. For example, tonight, some will pray, "Lord, don't ever let me hide behind the word of God. And if I am, then reveal those areas where I'm doing it, where I'm not, I'm only just a hearer, but not a doer of the word." You see, that is a saint who will go on with God. That's why none of us can have any excuses. The Holy Spirit gives us ample time. He gives us the challenge. He gives us the call in every message to come and meet with him and to have it out with him. This is what he tried to do with the children of Israel. Isaiah prophesied this. "Come now, let us come and agree together." God was ever calling the children of Israel to come and talk it out, because he was trying to show them they can't do it in themselves. But relationship is a covenant, and it's like a marriage. And in any marriage, you both have to communicate and talk. I hope you brothers are listening to that. You have to communicate, you have to talk. And God does the same with us. We have to commune with our Father, because there are things to talk about. And not only that, but God wants to talk to you. he wants to share with you. And you see, this is how we grow in the faith. And this is how we build upon that foundation, that rock. Because we've taken it before God. And we've talked it through. See, the disciples many times asked Jesus what he meant or what he was saying, particularly if he was speaking in parables. And you notice that he doesn't ignore them. He doesn't crush them or put them down. Well, can't you be a bit more spiritual and try and understand? No, he didn't do that. He would often take them to one side and expound to them then what he was really meaning. And he does exactly the same with us. We can't always take in everything straight away. It's impossible. And so God says, if you ask of me, I'll take you to one side and I'll expound and I'll show you more. Because if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. That is the principle. And yet we have so many believers who haven't time or can't be bothered to do that. And what do? They hide behind the word of God. They think because they've heard the message tonight, they've done their dues, they've sat there, they've taken the notes and everything. Aren't I good? I've been to church. And I've listened to the word of God tonight. Oh, that'll be all right. I'm now, you know, okay for this week. If that's not hiding behind the word of God, I do not know what is. And there is where the deception works. And yet you've got so many Sunday Christians who do precisely that. So their Christianity is only Sunday. Well, for the true believer, it's every day. Sunday is every day. And so, as we bring this to a conclusion, we've got a promise. And let's turn to John 8 and verse 31 to 36. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verses 31 to 36. 31, 36. And here Jesus speaks about knowing the truth, the word of God that will set you free. And here he says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And again, like Jesus so often did, what was he getting to the grassroots? He was getting to sin. And he was getting to the sin of the unbelief of the scribes and the Pharisees. Even though the fact that they thought they were the seed of Abraham, therefore we're free. And in their arrogance and pride, they say it. In other words, saying, how dare you? We are free. We're of the seed of Abraham. Did you know? But then Jesus goes on to those who are a master and those who are a son. And he says, you're masters because, he says, you are slaves to sin. But a son will abide forever. And there's the difference. And then he goes on to say that if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. You can never be set free if you hide behind the word of God. And those religious people and religion always hides behind the word. And it tries to use it, but it has no power. And we have to be on our guard with this. And the deeper we go and the more knowledgeable we become of God's word as we study and as we listen and as we read the scriptures, so we need to walk in that absolute humility. And every time you open the word of God and every time you believe you open your mouth, you know nothing unless God gives it, unless he reveals. You may be able to quote the scriptures. You may be able to know where all the verses are. You may know all the Hebrew and the Greek. and the Latin, and so on. But the humble who walk before God realize and have learnt very quickly, I know nothing unless God reveals. And that is how we have to walk with God. Because then he is Lord. Then he uses all those things that we have and what we've known and what we've learnt, and the Holy Spirit then uses that for his glory. Can I put it in a sort of crude way? We're like computers. And computers, of course, as you know, will only give out what's put into them. And so you've got to make sure that what information goes into them is right. Because if it's areas it's wrong, it's going to spew out that wrong information. Well, God never gets it wrong with us. And we can call God the programmer. And we're the computers. And he's putting all that information, all that we don't know, unless it's put in by the master's hands, is being put into us. But the programmer, the one who has programmed us, he is the one who knows how to get that information out at the right time and at the right season and at the right moment. Are you beginning to grasp this now? Because God wants you to speak what is right that glorifies him in the right season and at the right time. And if you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you are going to use scripture unwisely that is not right, and you're going to try and apply that sword, and you're simply going to do damage. That is why we need to be able to speak in season and out of season. And there's a time for everything. I believe that this message tonight that God is giving to us is the message that he wants us to hear tonight. It was not to be given last week or 6 months ago. It is to be given tonight. And this is what glorifies him tonight. And I can only get that as I wait upon God, because I do not know what to preach. I haven't a clue until he begins to unravel it and begins to show me step by step by step. Then I begin to see and understand to a certain extent, this is what God wants us to hear tonight. But if I was trying to apply this in the intellect, in the pride, it would just simply be a theological academic exercise and meeting, which sadly a lot of professing Christians listen to. And this is why a lot of you who have come away from churches, denominations, because something within you said, I need the anointing. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm fed up with all this dead letter preaching that comes out. Now, who's put that in us? God has. Why is it we want that? We crave for that. We look for that. We pray for that. Because the Holy Spirit has put that within us. As he has said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know in their heart when the great shepherd is speaking. And so Jesus here again, he spoke of those who were doers of the word. He says, if you abide in me, my words are, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that is what it does. That freedom is a wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. You're being set free out of bondage, out of prison, out of that which otherwise is going to destroy you and take you to the pit. That is what he's doing it by. But like all these things, there are conditions that are attached to it. And there are some professing Christians who think because they've made a commitment to Christ, Christ has got to do all the rest. Little realizing that it is a covenant, that you walk together day by day. And those who have a revelation of this covenant relationship start to mature and grow up as sons, which God wants. The Holy Spirit now is working to bring forth sons in these last days, because it's going to be the sons who will be glorified. It is going to be the sons who will rule and reign with him. It is the sons who have a throne prepared even in his room. It is the sons who are going to come back in the tribulation to rule and reign with him. Yes, as it says, with a rod of iron. It is going to be the sons who mature into their full sonship. And that is achieved and done by faith and by the cross. There are still so many in churches that are babies who run hot and cold, who are still so controlled by their emotions and not by their faith. But I say to those who battle that, stay with it. Keep listening. Because your answer, your question, your healing, your deliverance is in the Word of God. And your time will come. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten me. Sometimes you have to wait in this walk. But one day Jesus will be walking past and he will look and he will turn to you and he will say to you, rise up in the name of Jesus. Be healed. His very presence will do that. This is why you stay with it, because God does not give up on us. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And we only know we can do that is when those trials come. And those trials are coming simply to show you where you are in the faith. And God has already promised that he'll bring you through anyway. He will not forsake you in those trials, as he didn't forsake Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And when the king stood up, he saw a fourth there, the pre-incarnate Christ, there in the flames of the fire. And he does exactly the same with you. He's going to preserve, he's going to keep you. There are times when it might feel as though you're going to be burnt up or you're going completely under, but he's there with you so that your faith fails not. Why? So that you don't hide behind the Word of God. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. How he loves us. How he wants us to triumph and overcome. How he wants to bless you and I. And he does. He wants you to have the very best. That's why we can pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is in heaven? Peace, joy, blessing, wholeness in mind, body, spirit, God's presence, you name it. He said, start praying it now, in this life, on the earth. That's what he means by that. Yet so many believers believe that they glorify God through their poverty, through their sickness, through their depression. And they think that that's being humble before God. It isn't. Christ died, and in the atonement that he made, the shedding of his blood, he died and rose again, that you may have a new life in Christ, and that you may walk whole, complete in him. Yes, in this life. Not until you have to wait till you get to glory, which most sadly are preaching today. And why do they preach it? Because of unbelief and hardness of heart. And because they don't believe it, they don't want the hearers to believe it either. And that's how they control and hold so many Christians. But what do? They hide behind the true word of God. If the Son shall set you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Embrace it. It's yours.